Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Well, we have talked about the difference between temptation and sin, and that the enemy will use false guilt regarding your having been tempted in order to try and make you feel hopeless so that he can try again to lead you into the trap of condemnation. Don't let the devil do that to you. You don't have to. Stand on God's word. It is not a sin to be tempted. It is sometimes hard for folks to distinguish between the two. At what point does it move from temptation to sin? And the particular area where this happens is the one we're going to talk about today. Oftentimes, when people understand the difference between temptation and sin, they feel liberated. And they are so excited. And then the next day, they come and they say, "Pastor Wood, can I talk to you for a minute? I was feeling really so much better last night, and then because that message really spoke to me. But then I remembered that verse." You know, that verse where Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, "I tell you the truth, if a man looks at a woman to lust after her, he's already committed adultery in his heart." So isn't that a situation where temptation really is sin? I am so glad you asked that question. Let's look at that together. Just as temptation is not the same thing as sin, attraction is not the same thing as lust. Attraction is not the same thing as lust. Let's take a couple of examples. Genesis chapter 24. Abraham sends his servant to find a wife for his son Isaac. And so he travels to the place where he was sent by his master Abraham. Genesis 24. And I'll begin in verse 10. "Then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and left, taking with him all kinds of good things from his master. He set out for Aram-Naharaim and made his way to the town of Nahor. He had the camels kneel down near the well outside the town. It was toward evening, the time women go out to draw water. Then he prayed, 'O Lord God of my master Abraham, give me success today and show kindness to my master Abraham. See, I am standing beside this spring and the daughters of the townspeople are coming out to draw water. May it be that when I say to a girl, please let down your jar that I may have a drink, and she says, drink and I'll water your camels too, let her be the one you've chosen for your servant Isaac. By this, I will know that you have shown kindness to my master.' Before he had finished praying, Rebekah came out with her jar on her shoulder. She was the daughter of Bethuel, son of Milcah, who was the wife of Abraham's brother Nahor. The girl was very beautiful, a virgin. No man had ever lain with her. She went down to the spring, filled her jar, and came up again. The servant hurried to meet her and said, 'Please give me a little water from your jar.' 'Drink, my lord,' she said, and quickly lowered the jar to her hands and gave him a drink. After she had given him a drink, she said, 'I'll draw water for your camels too, until they have finished drinking.' So she quickly emptied her jar into the trough, ran back to the well to draw more water, and drew enough for all his camels. Without saying a word, the man watched her closely to learn whether or not the Lord had made his journey successful." Now, there are a number of things that it says about this young woman. But I want you to notice that one of them is the girl was very beautiful. I don't think that physical beauty is the most important thing. The Bible not only doesn't say that physical beauty is the most important thing, the Bible says that physical beauty is not the most important thing. However, the Bible does acknowledge the reality that some people's looks are especially appealing to most people. Is that clear? This girl was very beautiful. Take a look over in 1 Samuel chapter 16. Samuel is sent by the Lord to anoint God's choice for the next king who's going to follow Saul. Verse 6. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab. That's the oldest brother. Samuel saw Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And you remember the story. One by one, God says no to all the ones who are paraded before Samuel. And Samuel says to Jesse, are these all, verse 11, are these all the sons you have? There is still the youngest, Jesse answered, but he is tending the sheep. Samuel said, send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives. Verse 12, so he sent and had him brought in. He was puny, pimply, and homely. Is that what it says? Oh, I'm sorry, I misread verse 12. Verse 12 says, he was ruddy, with a fine appearance and handsome features. You know who else is described as being really good looking? Joseph. Joseph was really good looking. You know who is described as not having a real attractive physical appearance? Jesus. He had no form or comeliness that we should desire. So looks are not the most important thing, but they're real. And people do look, according to God, on the outward appearance, men particularly, okay? Man looks on the outward appearance. We are very visually oriented. We're wired that way. It's not because we're animals, it's because we're men. Understand that we were designed to notice things like that. And it's okay. It's even okay to think that one person is better looking than another person. It is very foolish if you don't take into account what God tells us in his word about the fact that beauty is fleeting. And if you make that the really important thing, you're going to make tons of bad decisions. Being healthy is good. Being vain is bad. Well, Pastor Wood, I don't understand how this helps us with the issue of attraction versus lust. Here's what I want you to understand. Attraction is not wrong. If you think that a godly man, once he marries, never finds any other woman attractive, you are clueless. You know, I just think if I can get married, then I won't have this problem anymore of finding all these people so attractive. Yeah, they're still attractive. It's okay that they're attractive. It's not wrong to find them attractive. Well, when does it become lust? Let's look at another passage in 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel, chapter 11. In the spring, at the time when kings go off to war, David sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israelite army. They destroyed the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah. But David remained in Jerusalem. One evening, David got up from his bed and walked around on the roof of the palace. From the roof, he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful, and David sent someone to find out about her. The man said, "Isn't this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam and the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" Then David sent messengers to get her. She came to him, and he slept with her. She had purified herself from her uncleanness. Then she went back home. The woman conceived and sent word to David saying, "I am pregnant." Okay, well, that's clearly wrong. I mean, he committed adultery, slept with another man's wife, impregnated her. That is clearly sin. Where did it start? It started with lust. He looked, he saw, and he said, "I have got to have that. Find out who that is." They come back and they tell him, "That is Uriah's wife." And he says, "I've got to have that. Bring that to me." Did you know that it's possible not only to lust sexually, but it's possible to lust for money, for position, for fame? It's possible to lust for a car, for a house. I've seen so many people spend money they didn't have in order to get stuff they didn't need because they mistakenly thought they had to have it. What was happening? Lust. Lust. When you look at something that God is not saying, "This is for you," you're saying, "I don't want what I've got, I want that." That's lust. When you look at someone to lust after them, seeing them in what is called an objectified way, okay? In other words, you view them as an object. That's sin. That's where adultery comes from. People who look and say, "I've got to have that." That's somebody else's spouse. Doesn't matter. I've got to have that. I've got to have that. That's sin. That is sin. What do you do if you sin? You repent. If you're a Christian, you repent. You go to the Lord and you say, "God, forgive me. What a horrible attitude for me to think that somehow I'm entitled to something that you have not planned for me. To think that instead of appreciating what I have, the Bible tells us we should delight." This is a verse to men, but it applies for women as well. "Delight in the wife of your youth." What does that mean? It means you need to go home from the dance with the one what brung you. Okay? Is it possible to lust for something that is good? It's possible to desire something that is good, but if you have an attitude that says, "I deserve that, that is mine, I'm claiming it right now," sort of the prosperity gospel doctrine, you know. "I'm just going to speak it into reality because I have to have that." You may get something only to find out that once again it cannot satisfy. Only God can meet the longing of the inner person.
You are listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Now, attraction, is it okay or is it wrong? It's okay. Attraction is okay. But you've got to be able to look at something and say, wow, that's beautiful. If David had walked out onto his roof and he had seen a woman bathing and said, wow, boy, she's good looking, and turned away, would that have been a sin? No. Okay? Those things happen. But if you see the woman bathing and it's like, find out who that is. Now you got a problem. You understand? Why did he need to know who it was? Because he wanted to know if he could have her. They bring him word. That's the wife of Uriah the Hittite. Okay, I still want to meet her. Bring her to me. That's lust. That's sin. He sinned before Bathsheba ever got to the palace. He had already committed adultery in his heart before she ever got there. Finding someone attractive is not sinful, whether you are a female or a male. But if the devil can't get you to lust, what do you think he might do? Make you feel false guilt over the fact that you found someone very attractive and had to say no to lust. You said no to the temptation, but he's saying, no, that you didn't do it quick enough. Okay? You saw and you found that person attractive. Shame on you. I literally have known guys, young men, who got a distorted, legalistic view of holiness, who felt that they could not go to the beach and enjoy the beauty of God's creation because they might, now I'm not talking about spring break in Panama City, okay? I'm talking about they just couldn't go to the beach because there might be some young lady in a swimsuit and they could not risk seeing a young woman in a swimsuit because they found young women in swimsuits attractive. If you find people attractive, it means you're not blind. Okay? The fact is, saying that's an attractive person is just being honest. Does that mean you are overwhelmed with desire? No. It means, wow, that person's good looking. You can appreciate beauty. You can find things attractive with no sin involved. Is that clear? But when you start feeling like I've got to have that, you're lusting and it's sin and you need to repent. Okay, I got to delve into one more thing here besides attraction. That's not the same thing as lust. Lust is sin. Attraction is not. Okay, I don't know if you can say this word in chapel, but what about arousal? I mean, you know, feelings of not just attraction, but like feeling sexually aroused. I mean, that at that point, you're lusting, right? Not necessarily. Okay? Hormones are amazing. And God designed us with hormones. Now, it's true we live in a fallen world, and we have a sin nature. But the fact of the matter is, to a great extent, not only is attraction not something we choose, but to a great extent, arousal is often not something we choose or pursue. And when that happens, that's not sin. The fact of the matter is, if the devil can make you feel guilty simply for being human, he will do it. If the devil can make you feel that being sexually aroused is intrinsically evil, he will do everything he can to encourage your sexual arousal. So that if he doesn't get you to go out and sin on the basis of being aroused, he can make you feel guilty for being aroused. He's a liar. He will tell you that God is a killjoy. God is just out to spoil your fun. The fact of the matter is, Satan is a killjoy. And he wants you to pursue momentary pleasure instead of eternal joy. God designed sex to be an expression of love between a man and a woman who are married to each other. Don't feel like somehow this is nasty, this is dirty. I know that we work with kids, so some of them have been abused, and we've got to talk about these things sometimes. I'm telling you, every Christian needs to understand the difference between conviction and condemnation, between real guilt versus false guilt, between temptation versus sin, and between attraction and arousal versus lust. And I'll tell you one more reason why it is important and why it is especially important for us to understand. Part of my counseling ministry over the years has dealt with victims of abuse, sexual abuse. And one of the recurring themes is that victims of sexual abuse often feel guilty in part because their abuser managed to abuse them in a way that caused their body to respond with arousal and with pleasure. So I guess that means I sinned. No. Your body is designed by God to experience arousal and pleasure in the context of marriage. It's a beautiful, wonderful design. Sex is designed by God to be an expression of love between a man and a woman who are married to each other. If you take sex out of its proper setting, it doesn't work the way it's supposed to. But that doesn't mean that there isn't still the capacity for arousal and for pleasure. And that doesn't mean that the victim wanted it to happen or is somehow guilty. Folks, we need to understand that people who have been abused are likely to be confused because the devil wants it that way. But God doesn't want us to be confused. God wants us to know that whatever sins we've committed, we can come to the cross and find cleansing and freedom. And if somebody has done something wrong, we need to point them to Jesus. But don't let them continue to feel that they have somehow sinned because they had feelings of arousal or because they still have attraction toward someone. Attraction is not sin because it's not lust. Arousal in and of itself is not sinful. What you do with those feelings, what you do in that situation can be godly or sinful, depending on how you respond. If you're walking on the roof of your palace and you see a woman bathing in order to cleanse herself, if you see someone doing that, gentlemen, as you stand on the roof of your palace, don't try and find out who she is. Don't even try and remember her address. Just turn aside. Is that clear? Just walk away. I'm telling you, God wants you to experience freedom. God wants you to experience joy. The devil wants to heap false guilt on you if he can't get you to do what he's tempting you to do. Don't fall for it.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.com. pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.